Many of you know it's been going on 8 weeks ago that Sister Maxine fell and broke her leg. And she was in so much pain. She had thought that maybe her leg could be set, so she had them take her to the hospital. And they told her, said, no, it's going to take an operation to do it. So she just wanted to return home. But when they would come in just to move her a little bit, it was broken just below the hip. Just the least movement, and she would scream out in pain. And we thought, you know, how will you ever get her back home like that? You're going to have to push her. She's got to be taken down the halls and back out the entry. And the nurses come in and they just barely move her, and she would be screaming out in pain. You know, we'll bring a request to the Lord. And sometimes in my mind, I think, I just don't know how this could work. Is it that we don't believe God could do it? You know, we just kind of see the circumstance and we wonder, how could this happen? And she told us, she said, okay, they're going to be coming soon to take me out. And my request is that the Lord would help me to not cry out in pain while I'm going down the halls. Well, I thought, well, I need to go ahead and talk to her. So I said, I'll tell you what, Sister Maxine, should you cry out in pain, just give it to the Lord. You're doing this for Him. So if you have to cry out, don't worry about it. The devil's going to try to tell you to look at you, but don't worry about it. Well, the report that came back to me was her leg had been just flopping over, so they would have to brace it because it wasn't hooked to anything. But the nurse came in to take care of her the last time before she left to go home. And so they had people leave out of the room. And when they came back in, somebody mentioned, said, your foot is sticking straight up in the air. It has not done that before. And she looked at it and she said, well, it sure is. Like it's back in place. And so I didn't think too much about it. They came to pick her up, picked her up and put her on the stretcher. And she said she felt no pain. None at all. They rolled her down the hallways outside, loaded her in the ambulance. She said there was no pain at all in that leg. Took her home and set her in the bed with no pain in that leg. You know, whatever the future holds, if He completely heals her or if He doesn't, we saw a miracle in that day. God is in control of all things. He is surely in control. Another thing of Thanksgiving, several months ago, Cheryl had a desire to be able to go back to Austria again for a meeting. And last fall, she was not able to go with me. And this spring, it looked like there would be no way that she could do it. But we thought, you know what? The Lord is able if He wants that to happen. And one day, He gave her the assurance, you can go. And I mean, He poured in strength. What a mighty God we serve. It's safe to put our tomorrows in His hand. And so now we've come back home, and she would like to go to Germany. And again, it looks like, I don't know if there's any way it can happen, except there's a God in heaven that's in control of all things. And so we have it kind of planned that at the end of August, if God's will is to do that, we would like to go back again. And you know, God holds all those things in His hands. And you know what we'll do is, if that should not happen, we'll do what Job did. He said, the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. You know, when you'll do that, you'll be a winner either way. It says, in all this, He did not charge God foolishly. We can put ourselves in His hands. So what I want to share with you this afternoon, I believe the Lord would have us to look at, and I know this is kind of a sleepy time, so I don't want you falling asleep. So I'd like for you to get your Bibles and let's take a look here. Because the subject that I'd like for us to look at is what God would like to give every one of us for the trials that we face, and that is grace. Now we'll read a scripture that says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. I believe I see a place that the Spirit of the Lord wants to be able to do that. And that's in times just like this, for us to study the Word of God together, store away some scriptures in our mind, to where when the enemy comes in like a flood and he says, this one, there's no way out of this problem right here, then we start finding, oh yes, but there is grace that God has for every situation. And we have those verses stored away in our mind. And I think these times like today are important, because I have found some verses. I have them stored away. But you know what? You probably have some that I haven't found. And for us to be able to share those together, store them away in our mind. Because I tell you, the devil would love to use our mind for other things. He would love for us that the first thing I think about when trouble comes my way is, there's no way out of this one right here. But you know what? If I have stored away in my mind what God has done in the past and what he's well able to do in the future, it'll help me. So looking at the subject of grace, what would we say the definition is for grace? What would your definition be for grace?
Divine enabling help.
I used to hear it, the definition was unmerited favor from God. And then I got to thinking, you know what? Really, there's nothing that I merit from God. Remember on Mars Hill, Paul was talking to him and he said, in him we live and we move and we have our being. That song that says, my life and breath are in thy hands, my joys and all I know. I live and breathe at thy command, and shall I leave thee? No. So I don't really merit anything that he gives me. It's some divine power that he is willing to give to me. So I want to ask you, where is the first scripture in the Bible that uses the word grace?
Noah found it.
Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And I think that scripture became more valuable to me after we went a couple days ago to see the ark. And you know, it's one thing for me. I remember we had a boys' class at church one day looking at this subject of Noah. So we took a tape measure out and we marked out the footage in a field. And it was amazing to just see the stakes at the ends of how long and how wide. But that wasn't anything compared to what I saw as it was built. To think, okay, this is a man that did not have a Lowe's lumber yard out in his front yard there. The trees that he cut had to be cut into a timber. So as I went through the ark the other day looking at it, and I saw the shapes of how would you curve this thing so it's not a box, it's a boat. And I could see us today having equipment that could take those timbers and shape them. And we got enough presses to be able to press them into shape. But to take Noah, if we looked at the sixth chapter of Genesis, God gives him one visit that we see. Except that it says he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And what was that grace? Divine power. I think a divine power available from God. It's like, I have read stories before of people that are traveling across the desert and they're running out of water. And they're desperate for water. And they look out ahead and there it is. It's a lake of water. And so I turn off the path and I head toward it. And then we start hearing, nowadays we hear about a mirage. It was just the shimmering of the heat over the sands, and there really was no water there. Well, I want to tell you, that's not what God's grace is. it's so skimpy that you think it's over here, but it's not. Here's what God's grace is to me, I think about it. Let's look over in Revelations. If we were to look at it like water, Revelations 22 and 17, let's think about this of being God's grace. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth come. Let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. So I look at this subject right here today of grace being this same way. There, I thought of it as a big barrel, and I am very thirsty. There's plenty of good, cool water in it, but it's got a tap that's got to be open to be able to receive it. You know, really, for us to obtain grace, our part is very small, but we do have a part. You'll never get water out of the barrel if somebody doesn't turn the spigot on for it. And so I'm thinking today, and there's some scriptures that point us that way, what is the key that will unlock the door to his storehouse of grace? We find several places that says there is something that he looks at, and it causes him to look toward us. Humility. Can you think of where a verse would be that gives, that tells us what he will do for the humble? James 4 and 6 is one. Okay, and there's another one in 1 Peter 5 and 5, if someone would get that. Okay, James 4 and 6.
But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble.
He giveth more grace. So that's almost like you can't have a problem that's bigger than what he has the grace that's sufficient for. But then it says, he giveth grace to the humble. Now, I was looking at an example of just the opposite of being able to get grace. Remember, it talked about in the 18th chapter of Luke. It says there are some people that trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. You think that's a good source to be able to have grace, God's divine power, come to you? These folks were already feeling like they were righteous. And you remember the story that came from it? The Pharisee and the publican. When the Pharisee prayed within himself, I've done all these things. I've fasted twice in the week. I've given of all I possess. And the publican just smote on his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Said this man went down to his house justified. He had some of God's divine power given to him. And I think it's going to be important for us to realize, if I want his divine power to help me, I'm going to have to get down real low in who I am and what my abilities are. So does someone have that in 1 Peter 5 and 5?
Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble.
God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble, gives of his power. And that, what he's able to do is we take a look at, we say, well, what level can he do? Well, take a look at the first chapter of Genesis. And what is he able to do? Let there be, and it was. And it has never changed. It's always been the same. Today we're worried about, the world is worried about climate change and how are we going to keep disaster from coming. Well, how we're going to keep it from coming is trusting in the one who spoke it into existence. And then while we're talking about Noah, let's remember that verse after everything's settled and he's out of the ark, and God gives him the rainbow. You can trust this. There'll never be. In fact, it rained while we were there at the ark, outside the ark. And I mean, right behind the ark was just black, dark, dark. And I stood there, come on, God, this would be a perfect time to see that rainbow come up. It didn't. But it made me think about, here's that promise that he gave. and the grace that he has available for us, it is available to us in the troubles. But the very first step I need to do, get down low before God. Because it says there's some people, and I can have that myself, trust in themselves that my righteousness has got some merit with God. No righteousness of ours can ever avail, but through the Lamb of God we shall prevail. There's power in the blood. Everything else is going to fail. There's power in the blood of Jesus. And I'm wanting to be able to tap into that power to help me in my times of need. So is there another verse that you can think of about humility? When it compares who I am with who God is and the value that he sees, there's a couple verses that I think of. Isaiah 57:15 and Isaiah 66:1. It gives us a picture of God, and then it gives us a picture of ourselves. Someone has Isaiah 57:15.
For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one.
So he's letting us know, first of all, he dwells, he inhabits eternity. I dwell in the high and holy place, but I also dwell somewhere else. I dwell with him that is a contrite and a humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble. So if, what's the verse? I think it's in Psalm 298. If thou wouldst have the dear Savior from heaven walk by thy side from the morn to the even, there is a rule that each day we must follow. Humble thyself to walk with God. Here, he's got the tap. It's ready for us. But I'm going to have to humble myself to realize here's where my strength comes from. So is that one. And then there's over in 66:1. When I get to feeling like I've got something that I can contribute to God, he says in 66:1, thus saith the Lord, heaven's my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? All those things hath mine hand made. All those things have been, saith the Lord. You know, he could have stopped right there and said, there's nothing you can do. You are too little to be able to do anything. To this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. So with all that, the humility that he's asking for us to do, you would think then what he's saying is, don't bother me with your needs. But you remember then he comes to us and tells us about the widow woman that just kept on coming to the judge. I've got a need. And when he ended that one, he didn't say, now I'll tell you what, there's no comparison between me and that judge. Don't bother me. No, he let us know, you know what, that's what I'm looking for right there, is for someone that continually brings their requests to me, realizing how much is needed. There's another verse in 2 Corinthians 10:18. Not he that commendeth himself is approved. You know, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but God's the one that's trying the spirit. It's not he that commendeth himself that's approved, but it's whom God commendeth. So with this, there is a verse in Hebrews. Where would we find it? That tells us we have access. We don't even need to be ashamed to come to God and tell him we need it. In fact, he even gives a word that makes it really strong. He talks about boldly. Where would we find that verse? And while looking at it, here's some things that are available for us. We find them in song. To me, song is very important. It will never replace scripture, but what it does is it supports scripture. It backs up. It tells a human's reaction to scripture and when they mesh together. Here's a song. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is for us to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. And it's, I believe it's with this subject right here. If we only could realize the tap that we have for God's grace, His divine power to help me in every situation in my life. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. So where is the verse that He tells us, come boldly? Because these kind of scriptures, I'd like to, whenever I face, when the enemy comes in like the flood, I would like to kind of be like Jesus when He was tempted by Satan. And Satan even gave Him scripture. And Jesus didn't say, yep, that is scripture. I'm going to have to do some searching because I think there's another scripture that goes, counteracts that. Jesus instantly had it come to Him. And we can say, yeah, because He's Jesus. But you know what? I believe God wants to have the same thing with us. When my Savior talks with me, I think He wants a relationship with us. Toward, as we're looking today at these kind of scriptures, that when the devil tells me, yep, you're up against this big trouble right now, no way you're going to get out of it, I'd like for this verse to come to me. It's in Hebrews 4 and 16, if someone has it.
Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
So how do we mesh that scripture with all the others that talk about who God is and who we are and how humble we need to be? I believe they definitely mesh. When I come to the place that I realize who I am, I'm His child. He has the answers to my problems. I can come to Him, and He's telling me, don't be embarrassed to come to me. Come boldly. The boldly doesn't have anything to do with, I'm up here right along beside you, Jesus. I'm on the same level as you are, and I'm going to tell you what to do. You know, sometimes whenever we're praying, we will go to those verses and say, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you want and it'll be given to you. Now that's coming boldly. How do we tie that one in? Would it be fair? Would it be good for a parent to give a child everything they ask for? You just come and ask me for it and I'll give it to you. We find some parents in the world that try to do that. Maybe they have a lot of money and they just pour it out. It's supposed to help my child. And you find out the child does not profit from it. You know, if I could just realize who God is and who I am, I can't see into tomorrow. And He can see into eternity. He inhabits eternity. And I'm wanting to meet Him in peace. I want to dwell with Him in eternity. So whenever I come to the verse that says, you ask whatever you want, and I'll give it to you, then I have to realize, you know what? I need to be asking for Him to put in my life whatever will help me to make heaven my home. But we can tell Him how we'd like for Him to do it. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I can tell Him exactly how I would like for Him to take care of this trip we want to go to Germany, or any other of these requests that we're praying for these others that are sick. I can tell Him exactly how to do it. If I will always end it with realizing who I am, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Okay? Does anyone have another scripture or a song? We have song number 342. I need thy presence every passing hour. What but thy grace can foil the tempter's power? You know what? There's nothing I can do to stop it. Who like thyself my guide and stay can be? Through cloud and sunshine, Lord, abide with me. That's the request that I have. I want Him to abide with me. So while we're talking about give your request to the Lord, it was done one time, and it talks about grace when God did not grant His request. Who was that to? Was it somebody that hadn't really been living right anyhow, and so He wasn't going to grant His request because He hadn't been walking close to Him? Apostle Paul. You know, Apostle Paul had, he realized why the thorn in the flesh had come. He said, I had this vision that nobody else has had. And lest I should be exalted above measure, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. And I prayed 3 times. Going back to let your request be made known to God, I prayed 3 times. That's in 2 Corinthians 12. What was the answer that he got back from God? Would we consider it valuable if he gave us that answer? Here's what I want from you, Lord. I'd like for you to take away this thorn in the flesh, whatever it was. But the answer he got back was, my grace is sufficient for you. The grace from the one who spoke and the world came into existence. He now says, I've got grace for you. When you have a need, if the Lord would tell you, I've got grace for you. Not going to change your situation, but I got grace for you. Would you go away? Whew, thank God I got my answer. How did he go away? What did he say something about most gladly?
Would I rather glory?
He climbed up on top of it and continued with the affliction, whatever it was, but he tapped into the grace. If you could picture out in the desert when it is so hot and dry, but there is a barrel. And you know, I remember in the past at camp meetings when a preacher would be up there, and I mean, it is hot at Monarch. And why they bring them cold water with ice in it, and you can see the water just running down off the outside of the glass, and you know that would taste so good to get a drink of that. What if that were available for you out in the desert? Just, it's there. It's available. A big drink. All you've got to do is tap into it. That is available for us today. In the trials that we come to, none. It does not mean it's like a vending machine that I get whatever I want. You know, the very first thing I need to realize, I probably wouldn't make heaven if I got everything I wanted. Because there are some things, what does it say that it's good? No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And then he mentioned what was a good thing. What was it? It was good that I had been afflicted. I don't consider that a good thing for living down here. But you know what? If I could just realize that probably is going to temper something in me. God probably, well, with Paul, there was some reason that he allowed him to keep that throughout the rest of his life. So for me to realize, you know what? If God says it's a good thing for me to carry, and it's not so much just sickness all the time. It could be troubles from other people, or just desires that I have in my life that have not been fulfilled. God has not answered yet, and I'm still waiting on him. His grace is sufficient for us. Does anyone have another scripture or a song? Think about how God provided for the children of Israel. They're hungry. They need to be taken care of. So he comes up with a plan. There's going to be manna. And it's sufficient for you. But you can't stockpile it. You can't get a month's supply. And you know, I believe that's really that way with grace. It's not like, okay, today I have a need and I get a stockpile of grace that'll take care of me for July and August of any troubles that will come. It's that we can daily go back to the Lord. Tomorrow morning, go back to him and say, Lord, I need grace for the things that will come up today. Would you give me grace to face whatever troubles I'll meet today? And tomorrow, go back again. You know, when the widow was feeding Elijah, and he said, the barrel will not run empty until this drought is over. You know, it wasn't that the next day she went and it was running over the top. She just started dipping out of it. I believe it was that every day she scraped the bottom clean again, and it was just enough. And the next day it was just enough. Sometimes I don't believe God's going to overload us with grace. Because what's going to happen is if I had so much that I don't have to go back to him, after a while, I get to feeling like, you know what, I can take care of it myself. But when I have it to where I scrape just enough for this trial, the next trial that comes, and it may be this afternoon instead of a month from now, I can go back to it, and with a promise, I can scrape out enough. There's enough grace to help me with that time of trouble. There's a song that I've heard before. It says, "He giveth more grace as our burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength as our labors increase. To added afflictions, he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials, he multiplies peace. His love has no limits. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again." That's what's available for us. It says, when we have exhausted our store of endurance, you know, sometimes that doesn't stretch very far. And I've reached the end of my road. I don't have anything more. When our strength has failed and the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, you know what? And I believe God wants us to see, I've reached the end of what I can do for myself. It says, our Father's full giving has only begun. He has just started to be able to be ready to pour out the grace that we need. Fear not that thy need shall exceed his provision. Our God ever yearns his resources to share. Lean hard on the arm everlasting availing. The Father, both thee and your load, he'll pick up both of them, thee and your load will upbear. His love has no limits. His grace has no measure. It's available for us. But then almost with everything else, there comes a warning. Grace is as free as the air we breathe. It's available for all of us. There's a plenteous supply. But then it gives us a verse over in Hebrews 12 and 15. There are warnings given. You know, we see it all through the Old Testament whenever God would say, if you will obey these commandments, all these blessings will come on you. But then it tells us, but if not, there's something else that can happen. So I'm going to read Hebrews 12 and 15.
Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled.
Looking diligently. So it doesn't say that the grace of God would fail a man, but a man would fail of the grace of God. I think what that's given us, the picture again, is the tap on this big barrel of everything we need. Fail of the grace of God is I look for a way to solve my problem myself in going to the source. And I can fail of the grace of God. And then here's what comes from it. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And when we're carrying that, we realize who we are, who He is. And there's another verse. Someone would get Romans 12 and 3. Because I find several verses throughout the Bible where the Scripture is trying to get me to always realize who I am and who God is. And I think that's very important with us looking at grace that's available to us. Romans 12 and 3.
For I say through the grace given unto me, for every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according to what God hath given, hath dealt to every man the measure of faith.
Every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. How highly should I think of myself? How I look at it is, I need to go back to what material was used when he created me. You know, we talk about they used gold in the temple. They used all kind of valuable metals. But it said he let us know back at the beginning, from dust thou art, and back to dust you return. Does that mean then he doesn't care for us? No. I think what he wants us to realize is who we are, how fragile we are. And you know what I find that? I can get up and go to work in the morning and feel fine. I feel like I can take on the day. And all of a sudden, I catch this. We used to call it the flu bug. Now we get all kind of other names for it. It might be the COVID or whatever. But you know, we used to just catch the flu in the daytime. And by evening time, your strength, I don't know, it's like it just evaporated. You can't even hardly feel like enough energy to turn over in the bed. I think those kind of times were intended for God to be able to touch us and say, you thought you were able to build this strength yourself? Your strength comes from me. He gives it to us. We're dependent on him. So with this, don't think more highly than we ought to think, but to think soberly, realizing how much we need God in our life. So one other that I was looking at, you know, when we read 2 Peter, the third chapter, it gives us a lot of warnings about the end of time. And then it gives us some instruction through it, how to be ready when he should come, when he does come. There's verses like 14th verse, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing you look for such things, be diligent that you be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless." But it finishes up that chapter with this verse in the 18th verse. "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." You know, we can have that bitterness to grow, or we can have something else to grow. It says grow in grace. And I think how we can do that is, what does the song Amazing Grace? "Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. It was grace that brought me safe thus far, and it'll be grace that takes me home." We can each one make it. I am very thankful that his grace is available. He did not come and say, "Okay, you're saved now. I'll meet you at the judgment and see what you've done for it." Instead, he said, "I tell you what, if you'll tap into the source, I've got power for you. You can pick it up from me. I don't expect you to even do it on your own. You can get it. It's a power on loan from God." So before we close, does anyone else have another scripture? Have another song? Number 45 is a good one. So many of those, it points back to God being the giver. The first verse, "The grace of God that brings salvation and teaches righteousness appeareth unto every nation their darkened souls to bless. Wondrous grace, pure gift from heaven, grace to set the captives free." Grace of God, you know, is he just kind of, "Okay, I'm going to give you just a little bit, not much more"? Grace of God so kindly given by the Savior unto me. Any other before we close? Okay, what number was that? Okay, 184. Okay, number 184 is one of them. "By the grace of God." You know, it's not saying I'm saved today because I've learned what I need to do to stay right. It's by the grace of God I'm saved today. I'll walk by faith in the narrow way.
Second verse, "By the grace of God I will never yield to the tempter's power." Again, not by my own strength,
right,
but by the grace of God, enabling grace.
So it didn't say, "Okay, I can do this on my own." It's by God's grace I'm not going to yield. Where is the verse, "By the living grace of God"? It's a song. Work on, toil on. Before we close, I'd like to look at that song. What was it? 135. He added an extra word to the grace of God. It's not something that was alive at one time and now it's dead, but he's all through this. By the living grace of God, I will labor, watch, and pray till this mortal life shall end in supernal day. By the living grace of God, I will conquer though I die. The reward will come at last in my home on high. Lest any man fail of the grace of God. It's available. Who wrote this song?
D.O.
Teasley. By the living grace of God. And you know what? I believe he knew about the living grace of God that was able to keep him through anything. But there's a scripture that comes to us as a warning. Lest any man fail of the grace of God. It's available for every one of us to take us all the way to heaven. And I want to be able to make it. He had in here, I will never doubt my Lord. Till my eyes are closed in death, I'll believe his word. And you know what? That's long enough if he would have held out. Work on, toil on, till my work on earth is done by the living grace of God, I will labor on. By the living grace of God, I'll defy the tempting throne. High above the battle's din, I'll shout the victor's song. And he did, no doubt, for many years. Satan has a plan for every one of us. But what I'm encouraged about today is God's grace is available for us. And it tells us we don't have to just hope he'll give me a little bit. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Because I deserve it? No, because he tells me I can. Lord, I humble myself before you. I don't have anything of myself to be able to make heaven my home. But I come boldly because you say I can, and you've got it available for us. Anyone have anything?
Make some very positive declarations as saints of God. I'll never go back. I mean to fight the fight of faith till life on earth is done. And I believe those are right and good. But what we're hearing about today is what makes any of it possible.
Mm-hmm.
Paul said, I fought the good fight of faith. But he also said in another place, by the grace of God, I am what I am. That's what brought him to that point where he could say, I fought a good fight. It's only been by the grace of God.
So maybe for us to be able to open that tap and sufficient grace comes to us for every need, we will have come to the place each time that humility is flowing. Otherwise, I'm going to be able to make it. I can take care of a lot of problems on my own. And what did it say about the one that went up and prayed? They depended on their own righteousness and they despised others. I don't want that to fall in my place. I want to realize how much I need God's grace in my life. Anyone else before we close? Appreciate you staying awake with me this afternoon. May God help us all to have grace, that we can serve him acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Our God is a consuming fire. Pray for me.
Yes.